This is an adult-oriented podcast involving discussions about sex and the BDSM lifestyle. If you do not wish to hear about these things, or if you are under 18 years of age, stop listening now. This isn't the show for you. I torture you. And welcome back to Adventures in Kink. I'm BK.
I'm Princess Pita.
And we have once again been late.
We have lots of good excuses, though.
Yeah, well, they're not really excuses. They're valid points. And okay, see, it all started. We were on track. We were doing really good for doing one every other week.
Mm-hmm. And then you got the flu?
Well, before that, even. We got engaged.
We got engaged.
And so, you know, congratulations to you.
Well, you too.
Thank you. And then very shortly after that, during the Hey, We're Engaged celebration, I got the flu.
Literally 2 days.
Excuse me. I'm still sort of recovering from the coughing part of that.
Literally 2 days after proposing, you came down with the flu. I'm not sure if I should take that personally or not.
Don't take it personally, because I didn't want it, and it was ugly.
Yeah.
And subsequently then, I had to recover and get my strength back and go back to work. And the day I went back to work was the day the podcast was supposed to come out, and the power went off because we had ice.
For 2 days.
We had no power. And I had to go to work with little to no sleep and still tired and weak from the flu. And then, you know, so the power came back on and...
Here we are. I actually think that all things considered, with everything that's happened in the last 2 weeks, we're not doing bad to be just a little bit late.
I think we're doing pretty good, and hopefully our listeners will forgive us.
I'm sure they will.
I guess we'll know when we see how many downloads we have. By the way, for those of us who are listening on Podbean, which is everyone because it's the only place we're posting it, please, if you can, download the episode, because that increases our statistics on Podbean. And then when people go searching for us on there, it raises us on the ranks and it makes it easier to find us. It's nothing that we want a big head and, oh, we have all these downloads. It's just so that other people can find us easier the more downloads we have.
Visibility.
Visibility is a good thing. We call that exhibitionism in the lifestyle. So we're going to continue because we did book club last time. Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns. Philip Miller and Molly Devon. For those that don't have the book, if you want to go get the book and follow along, we are still covering the back half of chapter 6. We left off with anal sex. I don't know why we would leave off with that, but... That's where we left off.
Well, we stopped right before we got to the large section, because it's a half a chapter.
It's a big section, and we were already at about an hour, so. Yeah, so we didn't want to try and do too much in one thing. We understand people have lives. We're not going to start with anal sex. We're going to start with anal play, general considerations.
They go into a lot of, like, disease considerations.
Which is valid.
What do they say about disease?
Okay. This is the first line under anal play general considerations. Any sexual play in or around the anus carries with it the hazard of infection from a variety of organisms, notably hepatitis and staph infections and HIV. Makes sense.
Yes, but this is why we get tested on a regular basis and have our partners get tested on a regular basis, so that... it is not as big of a concern. Now, yeah, if you're like hopping into bed and having anal sex with a stranger, you should be extremely cautious, because disease is a thing. And
we do recommend condoms.
So do they. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But I don't think with a regular relationship type situation, it's not as huge a concern.
Right. The concern you have in a relationship is more be careful about UTIs from cross-contamination from one hole to another.
Definitely do not want to hop holes.
Well, there's some that do. And that's, you know, if they have secrets,
it's actually not a UTIs are not the concern. UTIs are actually a concern with vaginal sex because your bladder gets beat up. Actually, the concern going from anal to vaginal sex is not UTI. It's actually a particular type of bacterial infection. And I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's actually worse than a yeast infection. It's
right.
Pretty serious. And you want to avoid that at all costs.
Yes. Now, a lot of people do a lot of, and I'm doing air quotes, prep work. But, you know, just if you watch what you eat, there's a lot of things you can do. And I'm sure you have notes on that.
Yes, I do.
So I will let you go into all that because that's coming up. But they do talk about different things like safety barriers.
You should use condoms if you're having anal sex.
They talk about disposable finger cots or gloves. Some people do that. Some people don't. Just be sure and, you know, hygiene is important.
Very.
You know.
Especially in this area.
Yes.
Also, they talked about the anus being a very sensitive area, which is prone to tearing. So you also need to be careful about that. So you shouldn't, it shouldn't be something that you're rushing into.
Right.
And it's different from vaginal sex. You can't just, you know, we don't self-lubricate in that area.
That's right.
So you can't just, hey, I'm turned on, let's do it. There's some prep work involved.
There's some prep work involved, and you're probably going to encounter our band. You know our band, right? Anal Fissures. Great band name. It's a thing. It happens. They happen. They heal.
Just small tears. They're just small tears,
right? But they do heal. They can be uncomfortable for a day or two or three. If it goes on for too long, you need to get it checked out.
Right, because it's probably worse. There's also a risk for hemorrhoids. So it is definitely not for the faint of heart. And it is also not something that everyone will consider.
That's true.
I mean, it is definitely not for everyone. You have to approach the subject sensitively. You really should, because it's, for some people, it's a really sensitive subject. They don't even want to discuss it. You need to use discretion, and you need to be a grown-up about it.
Right.
You can't approach that kind of conversation as a 10-year-old in a candy store.
Like everything, good communication with your partner will always lead to better results.
Yes. Because really, do you want to be that person that gets to have anal sex but only ever gets to have it once because you screwed up so bad that they never really want to try it again. So
I know plenty of people who have done that.
Go slow. Take your time. There is absolutely no need to rush.
When anal sex is proposed, it is potential tinder box of residual emotions that can be productive or disastrous. You know, they've got that point down. I think it's important in here. Well, important. It is important. And it's something that most everyone is aware of nowadays because we have been more thoroughly trained on these things. But they talk about the use of Vaseline on condoms. Don't do it. They melt because condoms are latex. 25 years ago, we didn't have non-latex condoms like we have now. So it's important to know.
Anal sex, when done wrong, can really hurt. You should not, however, accept that as the norm. Done right, it might be a slight bit of uncomfort or discomfort at first, but it doesn't hurt. If you are in pain, something is wrong, and you should put a stop to it. Don't accept severe pain as something I got to get through. It should not feel that way. So if your partner, and I'm talking from the bottom side, if your partner is rushing things, didn't take the time to prep, didn't use the right amount of lube, and they're not being careful with you, and it is painful, you have the right to say stop. You do not have to suffer through because you agreed to this. Pain is not normal.
That's right. And speaking from the giving side, take your time. Be patient. Go slow. Talk them through it, especially if it's their first time. Be very slow. Start with some fingers. Work it, ease it in, work it up slowly. Add one finger, add two fingers, add three fingers.
It's it's a muscle, just like any other muscle.
It has to have time to relax and react to what's going on.
You know, you have to, you need to like help it stretch, because that's not an area we can just stretch on our own. You know, you have to help it along, help them relax. Literally, you're not going to get anywhere if the bottom is not relaxed.
Right.
And I mean, in general, not just that area.
To use an analogy from our lifestyle that everyone will relate to, if you take a wooden paddle and you haul off and raise that above your head and come down on a bare naked ass without warming them up, you're not going to have a very pleasant reaction, probably. Same thing. If you don't warm up that anus, you're not going to have a very pleasant reaction. You have to take your time and do the warm up.
Right. So one of the things that makes people not relax is worry about the cleanliness aspect of it. The, oh my God, what if, you know, something happens? And so there are, one, you kind of just have to understand that shit happens, and hopefully you're with a partner who understands that shit happens and not stress about it too much. Yes, I know. But the other thing is, there are things you can do to help the cleanliness aspect of it, and we will get into that in more detail in a little bit, but it does help with the relaxation to not feel like, you know, if you go to the bathroom first and if you clean everything out first, it can help relax you. Because if you're stressing out about that, then yeah.
Right.
They talk about like a back rub can help. Foreplay is still important because you really want to be in a relaxed, you know, body state.
Still sex. It should be relaxing.
Lots of lubrication is important. And yes, you talked about how you want to use the right kind of lubrication. Make sure you're using lube that works with the condom that you're using. Also understand that water-based lube, while it works better with the condoms, also gets absorbed faster.
Yes.
And so that, you may have to reapply.
Yes. That's very important.
It's a very absorbent area for some reason. It just sucks lube up like crazy. So you have to reapply. It's the same reason why you cannot wear a butt plug for hours and hours and hours. It will adhere to the walls at some point. So you need to make sure plenty of lube and keep putting it in there.
Reapply as needed. Because, and you know, everyone that I've talked to about anal sex, they're like, you know, what's the success? I mean, what's the key to success? The biggest thing is patience. And the second biggest thing is lube. You can never have enough lube on hand.
Also, some people will tell you that the first time you should use a numbing lubrication, but it's actually really not recommended. And the reason is, while it does numb the stretch and the discomfort, it also can mask injury.
It will mask something bad, right.
And you need to be aware if something is happening. If something is tearing, if there is, if something's going in wrong or not happening right and something's tearing and it's in a bad way, you need to know that that is happening so you can stop and reassess. If you put numbing lube on and you're not aware of that till much later, you can create much bigger problems.
Right.
Because if you think about it, if you open up cuts and tears in an area that is also, you know, used for defecation, you are also introducing more bacteria into your body through those fissures.
That's right.
So you have to be really careful.
I want to just point out right here, I know we have some listeners who are going to think, but I like rough anal sex. I like it, you know, just forced and hard. Okay. You are probably well-versed at anal sex and have done it for a long time. And
there's absolutely you've been nothing through wrong these with steps. Feeling
there's
that way.
Nothing wrong with that.
Clearly, we're not talking
to you. We're talking to the people who maybe are more inexperienced and have not tried it or have always had a fear of it. You know, there is risk of infection with vaginal sex. So, of course, when you go to the other route there, you're running another risk. So we're just trying to educate. That's what we do on the show. And we're not trying to scare anybody. We're actually trying to help people if they have questions. You know, they can always email us. We'll try and answer questions as best we can. Adventuresinkink@gmail.com. will get a message to us. And we'll try and get you, if we don't have the answer, we'll point you in the direction of someone who can answer that. Because we know a lot of people.
We know people. But as far as, you know, people who are new to it or inexperienced or have tried it and didn't like it and want to try again, we're just offering up some things that worked for us, things that worked for the people who wrote the book, and kind of practices that I did a lot of reading about this too before I ever tried it. And, you know, I was scared. I was terrified of it. But I was with somebody I trusted, which is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And BK, by the way. And somebody who knew to take things slow and knew how to make me relax and comfortable. And, you know, it was good. I like it. I enjoy it.
And she still lets me do it.
And that's key, right? So there are, you know, there are things you can do, like we were talking about, to help with that relaxation, you know, from everything from foreplay and back rubs to using lots of lube, to using fingers or toys to help prepare and stretch that area. You know, actually having, you know, wearing butt plugs an hour or two a day, you know, actually practicing inserting them and removing them, it will actually help relax that area, because this is one of those things that the more you do it, the easier it is, because you're training Yes. your body to relax. It is not something we normally do, relax that area. We usually want to keep things tight so that we don't shit ourselves. So it is a
But that's kind of muscle training.
It is. It's a muscle training. It's a skill to learn how to relax like that.
And one thing that will keep you from shitting yourself, go to the restroom regularly. If you don't go to the restroom regularly, you need to probably see a doctor about that and get a program in place so that you do go to the restroom regularly.
But the more you do it, the easier it is to relax, right?
You're talking about anal, not going to the restroom,
right? Yes, not going to. Well, okay, okay, you should probably do that pretty often,
yes,
too.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And then when you are finished having anal sex, you should clean up. This is not the kind of sex where you roll over and go to sleep.
No.
You know, you need to clean up. I need to clean up.
Both parties. Do not be offended if the shower comes on.
No, no, don't. Because some people are not comfortable. As a matter of fact,
go in the shower with each other and help clean each other.
That works too. But yeah, no, everybody needs to clean up after this, because the bacteria issue. You never actually want to have vaginal sex before you've had that shower. So even if you don't shower that night, don't go having morning sex the next morning without cleaning properly. Right. It's, you know, it's okay to just wipe down before you go to bed, but get up in the morning and take that shower, because you really don't want to introduce that bacteria into the body. Anal training and object stimulation.
Yes. This is, training is a thing that, you know, and I've helped a few people through the years with some anal training through the use of various sizes of butt plugs. Most people like to train using the silicone ones because they are softer.
And they're easier to clean.
They're easier to clean. They do penetrate farther than the stainless steel ones too. They're a little bit longer, so they're going to go in further. So you're going to train more muscles at once.
They're not pretty.
No.
The silicone ones are not for decorative use. They're not made to be pretty. They're for actual training for future anal use.
Yes.
I have glass and stainless steel and silicone.
Yeah. The silicone is mostly for training. It's not for looks.
No.
The stainless steel, they usually have a gym or something on that's very decorative.
Right.
So that when
or
you.
Or a tail.
Or a tail. Or just from a horse tail to a pigtail, bunny tail, fox tail.
Oh, there's all kinds of butt
all
plugs.
All kinds of tails.
There is a baby Jesus butt plug.
Yes, there
and
is a baby Jesus butt plug.
You showed it to me yesterday.
Yeah, I did. Because I kept saying, oh, holy baby Jesus butt plug. And you're like, if I find out there is one, I said, there is, and I showed it to you.
Yes,
and you're
you
like,
did.
Okay, I'm out. I'm done.
It's awful. But yeah, there's tons and tons and tons of butt plugs out there as far as decorative use and, you know, and fun. But for really good actual training, the anus to take bigger and bigger sizes, I think the silicone is probably your
the
best
The silicone
bet.
Is good. There's three, generally three sizes. and they seem to work best. Usually, when you start out, you know, slow. Don't try and rush it. Oh, God,
no, you have to start slow.
Start slow. 15 minutes a day for a little bit, you know, up it to 30 when you're comfortable. When that feels very comfortable, go on up a little bit more.
If you sneeze and it comes out, it's time to go to a bigger size. It's time to
move up. You're right. Yeah.
It has happened. Not to me, but I have... I've heard stories.
I remember many of my friends, friends that you know as well, they'll tell the story. There they were in Starbucks, and all of a sudden, tink, 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 and they look down. Oh, shit, it fell out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they gracefully bend down, pick it up, and drop it in their purse. Sometimes they kick it aside and keep walking.
It's not an experience I've had, and I really hope I never do, because I embarrass really easily, and I'll turn tomato red. And
makes for some great stories on FET, right? Though.
But yeah, so anal training is something that can be done with a partner or can be done on your own. If, you know, it's something that you're interested in doing and preparing for a future partner, you don't have to wait for that partner to show up. You can actually start training on your own. Right. And I found a lot of information about that on FET. So there's lots of resources.
Lots of resources on that. And there's plenty of people who will tell you how to do it. There's not one true way, like anything else in this lifestyle. You find what works for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stand by that statement.
I will say, I strongly recommend using a plug that has a really big flared base. And they're less comfortable to walk around with, but they're a lot harder to suck inside on accident. And you really, last right. thing you want to do is lose your butt plug inside.
The stainless steel ones, and I preach this to people because, again, I do don't toy sleep sales. In them. Don't sleep in them. And if you can at all avoid it, don't ever wear the small one.
They're just
know
too small.
Too many people that it just sucked right in. You know, they'll be sitting there, they'll wear it while they're masturbating, and oops, it got sucked in. Well, if they're by themselves, they're the ones going fishing.
It's and it can be done. It can be removed. And if God forbid, you accidentally lose an anal toy inside, the best thing to do is that area is already used to pushing things out, so you should try to push it out normally. Right. Like you would defecating. If that doesn't work, you can use lube on your fingers and go fishing. But if that doesn't work, do not be afraid to go to the ER. They have seen worse things.
Yes, they have.
And you have to get that out of there because foreign objects left inside a body are not, it's not good.
Right.
It's not a good thing, especially if it's glass or stainless steel or, I mean, anything, honestly, because that area is not meant to have things inside.
Right.
And they will adhere to the walls of the anus.
And since you mentioned glass, I know you're referring to the glass plugs mm-hmm. and glass dildos and such as that. But another thing in relation to something that we're exploring this year in electroplay, some violet people wand. Like to make violet wands insertable. They make specific attachments that are insertable.
Don't stick the regular violet wand in.
Right. It the ones that are insertable are they have like ridges at the base so that if it is to break, it breaks at those ridges and you don't have shards that you're trying to dig out. Now, right. I'm not just talking anal. I'm talking vaginal also.
You do not want to break glass
if the end
inside.
Is the only thing. You know, when you go in and you flare things open, you can grab it and keep that area that is sharp protected and not cut things on the way out.
Right.
If it's the other kind that's not meant to be inserted, it will shatter and you will have shards. And that will not be a good experience at all.
Because those muscles are very strong. And please, please, please do not... Do not put things in your vagina or anus that are not intended to be inserted into the human body. Because if you start putting things like vegetables and random household objects, one, you're introducing a lot of disease and bacteria. I mean, you could be doing serious damage to your body.
Think of the pesticides of a vegetable.
Well, I mean, people will put condoms on them and put them in.
Some do, not all.
Right. But... Gosh, those things, household items can break. They can get stuck. I mean, what an embarrassing trip to the doctor that is. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's my kid's Barbie doll head that got left inside. I mean, that's it's a terrible, terrible idea. Please don't do it. They make so many plugs and dildos.
And they're
and
affordable.
Different sizes and colors and materials.
They're
and
so affordable. I've pretty much gotten out of carrying them because
people can go
people
into,
can find them anywhere for affordable prices. And that's my whole point, is to just make sure things are available at affordable prices. Mm-hmm. Is it my fault that the prices came down? I'll take the blame. It probably wasn't just me.
It probably was that book and movie we don't like.
It probably was in Smarter Shoppers, because mm-hmm. I educate people how to shop.
I will say, that was another thing that happened in the last 2 weeks. He made me sit down and watch that movie.
Oh, I did make you sit
down. It was one of the funniest things I've ever watched.
Pretty funny, wasn't it?
I laughed a lot. Yeah, we watched 50 Shades of Grey just randomly one night, and it was hilarious. It was.
Wait till I make her watch the second one.
Maybe we shouldn't admit to having actually watched this show.
Well,
definitely wasn't for research purposes.
As horrible as they are, it was hilarious. It was, because there's so many things to laugh at.
I did like his red room, though. I would like to build a room like that.
Yeah, that room is really nice. It's a shame it doesn't get used properly.
But, right?
But yeah. But the thing, and you love it or hate it, whatever. It has brought new people into the lifestyle, and it opens an opportunity for a conversation about what is the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things. And it's a bridge that brings people in.
Absolutely.
And gives us an opportunity to educate.
Honestly, I'm glad it exists, for as awful as it is. I'm glad it exists, because at some point when I have to have an awkward conversation with my parents or my kids, or if somebody sees something or brings up something and I have to have that conversation, it kind of makes it a little bit easier, because they've been exposed to that world where they may never have been otherwise. I mean, it is common enough knowledge that the teenagers talk about it.
They do. And it makes you want to giggle like a teenager when they do sometimes.
Oh, I know. I mean, when you're walking in the grocery store with your 15-year-old and they point out the rope and go, "Oh, that's kinky." And I just about fell over. Yeah, that was fun. But anyway, sorry. Got really off topic there for
we
a second.
We were talking about butt plugs. And I love the caption they have on their picture. These are of the silicone trainer set that's there. It says, "Typical butt plugs in three sizes, too small, too big, and almost right." I love that.
That's true.
That's very
because
true.
There probably, instead of three, there should have been more like five sizes. And
More gradual.
More gradual change, because, oh my God, going from the medium one to the large one that's a massive change.
It's like going from a Volkswagen to a Mack truck, mm-hmm. or it feels like it.
Feels like it, yes. The next section's on self-training for anal play, which is really the same thing.
It's kind of what we just talked about,
but,
really.
You know, they recommend maybe if you're not comfortable with playing with the plugs, maybe start with a warm bath and some fingers and just kind of play and see how it feels.
Yeah, anything is good as long as it teaches those muscles. It's okay to go both ways there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the key.
Learning to relax. That's really what's important.
Learning to let those muscles accept it. That's the key. Just learn to relax.
Yeah, and be careful about the materials of the toys that you're using, because some of them really are not designed for that area, because they will, if left in for too long, like I said, adhere to the walls. So you really want to be careful about that.
The next section is about enemas. Now, I don't want to go into a big, long discussion about enemas, because some people think, well, you have to have an enema before you do anal.
You do not have
blah,
to.
Blah, blah, blah. No, you don't have to.
Some people are more comfortable that way, and some people require their bottom to do it.
And some people take enemas as a whole separate thing of play.
Yeah.
It's a different medical play. And some people are really into that. And that's fine.
I think it's funny that the book is written long enough ago that the only type of enema that they talk about is the big bag and the long tube and having to lay on your side and all this other stuff. And it is actually, there's some simpler methods now.
There are some simpler methods. They did have back then the disposable enemas. But for people who do anal all the time, having the bag is the more practical.
There's easier methods.
Except for the cleaning part of it. They make disposable tips now for those.
I'm just saying the little bulb is easier than those trying to fill the bag and all that stuff. And that's just a quick, like you just want a quick clean out. The bag is a longer method. I mean, it really fills everything up. And then it's basically, we're talking about filling the anal cavity with water. It encourages everything, like, you know, everything to kind of flush its way out.
Jars everything loose that might be adhered to the wall.
Right. And it basically makes you feel hollow and empty because it also encourages you to defecate if you haven't recently. And then it makes a lot of people, it makes them more comfortable having anal sex because now they feel like, okay, I'm as clean as I can get. So there's probably not going to be much.
They feel like there's nothing there for you to find.
Right. I find that the little bulb is faster and easier and does a decent job. Use it a couple times if you're not sure. It's just less work, I think.
Yeah, they go into a lot of detail. We'll let you read that for yourself.
Because we don't really need to go into grand detail. Yeah. But if you are not comfortable with the thought of maybe accidentally leaving a mess behind, then you may look into enemas. And that's on you to do that research.
That's right.
I've done the research I need for me. And you have to go do the research you need for you.
Like I said before, and I stand by it, find what works for you. Yep. Some people don't find enemas to be very comfortable at all. And you may be one of those people, and that's fine. But if you want to do anal and you feel like that's something you need to explore, by all means, explore.
Try that sometime when you have time and no interruptions. Mm-hmm. Do the enema, see how that feels.
Hopefully everything comes out okay for you. Pun intended.
Gosh.
The next section.
We're
just going to jump right into this next section. Is feeding the pussy syntho meat.
God, that is such a disturbing way to say, like, using a dildo.
Isn't it, though? Well, you know, the old joke is, you know, what do soybeans and dildos have in common? They're both meat substitutes.
I've never heard that.
Well, now you have. Okay. And I know you have heard it because I've told it to you before.
I probably blocked it out. So what does the book say about feeding the pussy syntho meat?
Well, the first line of the chapter says, moving forward, so to speak, we have the vagina.
Hopefully your vagina is forward of your anus, yes. Mm-hmm.
Just as nature abhors a vacuum, so do many in the scene regard emptiness here. So,
wow.
Dildos, they are objects designed to emulate an erect penis. So they range in size from poor little fella to in your dreams and are usually made of rubber or plastic.
I have a glass one.
Yeah, well, they make many other things now than they did 20, 25 years ago. So,
I also have how many? How many of the
silicone? I've lost count.
12?
More than is legal.
I know. In the state of Texas, it is not legal to have more than how many?
Six.
But between the two of us, we could have 12.
Yeah, I think we still may have more than that.
We may have more than that. We have a rainbow of colors. Simply
say that. So those are for sale. We're covered. Some dildos are also known as vibrators. They have mechanical innards.
The ones that vibrate?
Yes.
Wow.
Vibration and or gyration.
And some of them do both.
These active monsters are vibrators. They're a clever name, huh? I like that. So, and now, we not only have vibrators, but we have vibrators that we can control with an app on our phone.
We do have a remote-controlled vibrator that could be worn in public, as long as it was allowed public. It's not super loud, but it's enough that I would worry about it being heard.
If it were in a quiet movie theater, in a quiet movie, I would worry about it being heard. If it were in a noisy restaurant, I wouldn't worry so much about, unless it was the noises that you might be making.
I'm pretty good at being quiet.
Lick my lips.
It would have been last night's restaurant would have worked because it was a very loud place. Yeah.
And the waitresses would have probably been jealous. Feel free to explore whatever size of dildo that, you know, they say whatever floats your boat. Whatever size penis that you are anxious to try, they probably make a dildo that size or bigger or smaller.
We have also made them out of ice.
Yes.
Not as fun. Cookie dough, which was kind of fun.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. There, the liberal use of condoms is very important.
Yes, condoms and lube. Because you will self-lubricate in your vagina. However,
not if you're sub-zero temperatures in there.
If you're sticking a dick-shaped ice in there, extra condoms, lots of lube, and keep it moving. Don't let it stick.
And it's not going to last very long because it is very cold.
You'll be cold and it will be numb and you'll be like, what's going on? But then someone else may enter you and like, ooh, now that's different.
Yeah. So there are lots of things that can be used for penetration purposes. But again, please don't use really odd shaped things, things that will break, things with sharp edges, anything that could actually tear or cut the vaginal walls, because those are really not good for those purposes. And right. If you're going to use something that's a little out of the ordinary, like not an actual dildo that's intended for that use,
like a plastic lightsaber,
use a condom.
I did.
Or two.
Any questions on dildos?
No, I'm good.
They're pretty straightforward.
I mean, you're asking questions like this is a class, and I mean, I'm the only one here, and I'm pretty versed in dildos. Well,
anyone else that has questions on dildos?
Email us.
adventuresinkink@gmail.com.
Yeah, okay, so here's important things for dildos. Be careful what lube you use on those. Yes. And be careful what toy cleaner you use on. Actually use toy cleaner, because yes, there are some cleaning substances that will damage permanently your toys. Do not spend money on a really nice dildo and then use a cleaner that corrodes that material, because you will be sad.
And it can melt. Also,
they can melt.
Be sure and wash all of the cleaner off, because it will damage your insides.
Oh, God. No, that would be terrible.
Think of the fire.
Yes, please. Fire. Please wash your toy cleaner back off of the dildo and do not insert it until that is completely done. Also, be careful about where you store them. Store them in a clean place, because if you're going to use them quickly, you do not want to have to wash them off before you use them. Store them in a cool place, because they can melt at certain temperatures.
We live in Texas. Summers are not cool.
No.
So what I like to do is clean them and get, you know, let them dry. And then I get the gallon size Ziploc bags. I like to put them in there and just zip them shut. And then they're protected.
And then put them in the dildo bucket.
And put them in the dildo bucket for storage. The next section is fisting.
I've never done that. And I don't know that I ever want to. But you have, right?
I have done this on people.
So you can speak to this. I can't speak to this with any kind of authority.
And I will not refer to the book, because I have done it, and it goes something like this. In the same manner as preparing for anal, start with one finger, and I'm not talking about necessarily anal fisting or vaginal fisting. It doesn't matter what you're fisting. It can be a mouth. I don't care. Start with one finger and play around. Let it be comfortable. Then go to two, and then three. Add things slowly. Play around and get them worked up. Get them turned on. If you're anally fisting them, play with the clitoris and, you know, get them worked up. Make them desire it. Don't make it not wanted, you know. Don't just go, boom, it's in there.
Yeah, you can't just go full fist. That's not even how that works.
No.
Right? Because it's supposed to be you start one finger at a time until you have all five fingers in, and then it's getting it past the bigger knuckle.
The knuckle.
And then you can slowly make a fist.
Then you can slowly make a fist, and you can kind of work that fist in and out a little bit slowly. Everything is very slow.
You're definitely not going to just slam it in there and start going, because that's just not how the body works. If you can just
go boop and it's in there, then you've been doing it for a while, and good for you.
Yeah.
That's why you keep looking for people with larger hands, I'm sure. I know some people who have stopped looking for people with large hands. They're looking for people with large feet, and they are fisting with a foot. Typically, you're going to force a condom on the foot.
Right. I just don't like
please, feet. Please, please, please. Very important with fisting or footing or whatever. Please trim your nails.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because first, if you don't wear gloves, and I always wear gloves when I do fisting, but if you don't, Under your nails will be everything in whatever cavity you're going in, whether it's anal or vaginal.
Also, you're taking in all the bacteria and anything that may already
be there, you're putting there. So keep those things in mind. There's nothing wrong with wearing gloves. It's not a sign of fear. It's a sign of being smart, being safe, and looking out for your partner. That's what that is.
Safety it's got to be the most important thing.
Pleasure aside, safety has to be the most important thing.
Because if you're taking your time to make sure everything is safe, you have a greater potential for pleasure.
Right. That's pretty much how fisting works. It's a very slow process. Sometimes you can't get in past that knuckle because they either won't relax or, you know. And one person I know that I was doing a fisting with, they used to do fistings all the time. And they would go deep, deep, deep. And they could not get past my knuckles. And they know that they had had people with larger hands than me before. But it had been a long time. And it was the first time that we had attempted that. And it was really, you know, we played a few times. They had been in the scene for about 4 or 5 years, I believe, at the time. They had never been flogged. I'm like, how does that happen? So I helped them explore some things that they had not had an opportunity to do for whatever reason. And, you know, we would just explore some different things. And that was all it was. It wasn't even a sexual relationship. We were not involved in any way other than just friends. And I would help her to explore things. And in turn, she would give feedback as to what she was experiencing. And that helped me as, you know, a service top to be able to relate to other people who may be going through that similar thing. Because the more different experiences you have, the more you have that you can pull from as far as a database of, okay, well, the last time that happened, this worked. And then you can maybe find something else that will work in a different manner.
Right.
And that just helps me as a service top. And so that's why I enjoy playing with different people. Not necessarily sexual, like fisting or something like that. That's, you know, takes a different level of trust and comfort and all that. But as far as anything else, but it's okay if it's not a successful fisting the first time. Learn from it. It could just be you need to relax more. It could be you need to take it a little slower. I mean, there's things that you can learn from something. Just because it wasn't a success, in air quotes, doesn't mean that it was a failure.
Right.
Because there's always something you can learn from everything, whether it was it successful up to the elbow or if it was couldn't get past the knuckles or couldn't get past three fingers.
Well, hopefully it was still a pleasurable experience
right
up to that point, because if it's not, then there would be no point in continuing further anyway.
Well, figure out what the reason was that caused it to not be able to go past that point. You know, was it the angle of the hand or was it that you weren't relaxing? Because it could be from either party.
Right.
It's not necessarily their fault. It could be my fault. That's the long and short of fisting. The next section, they title forced sex. We don't like that title. We would prefer it to be consensual non-consent.
Yes. And they go into detail in the chapter that rape is bad, rape is traumatic, it leaves lasting scars on the body and the psyche.
25 years ago, consensual non-consent wasn't necessarily a term.
Right. And they're not condoning rape.
They're not condoning rape.
But what they call forced sex is rape play or consensual non-consent type of scenarios. And we're not going to talk about it much, right? Just
no.
It's just a thing. It's not for everyone. And definitely is.
We have plenty of consent talk in earlier episodes.
Yes.
Refer to those.
I would say if it is something that the person you are playing with is interested in, if you're the top and you bring that up, it could actually trigger a response you're not prepared for. So it, you know, probably shouldn't be tried with somebody that you don't know well.
I wouldn't try it with someone I don't know well. It would be with someone that I trust a lot.
Yeah. I think there's a higher level of trust required for that kind of play.
And I, being who I am, I will definitely let the bottom bring that up and talk about consensual non-consent. I've had people ask me, what do you think, you know, could you describe consensual non-consent to me? I said, I can't really describe that. I could describe what a scene might look like, but, you know, that's about all I can do. And then the consensual non-consent comes down to what you're willing to consent to generally, but then there's this specific scene that's going to happen, and basically you have, okay, these are the things that they've said is okay.
Over negotiation.
We're not going to talk about them for this specific scene.
But no, but preparing for a consensual non-consent scene, you have to over-negotiate that stuff.
You do. You really you do.
I mean, the over-communication is key here. And it can be some people, their relationship, when it's an established relationship, have a consensual non-consent clause in their relationship. But it really should be, I mean, I would even say this stuff should be in writing. If you're going to have this kind of scene,
right,
that agreement should be in writing. Because there is way too much potential for something to go wrong.
I'll say this as a broad, just as a broad definition. You and I, we don't negotiate every scene when we play now.
No, we don't.
Because
need to.
We know what's acceptable and what's not. So I'll start, and I'm going, and it's consensual, but you didn't specifically consent to it for that scene.
Right.
So in a broad term, it's consensual non-consent. Very broad.
My problem with consensual non-consent scenes is safe words tend to get ignored because it's as part of the rape fantasy.
And that is part, you have to have these regular safe words are, you can say them, but nothing's going to happen.
So no, stop, those things are not counted. But if this particular word is said, it has...
Alternate safe words are put in place.
Right. That is no longer a consensual non-consent scene if this particular word or phrase is said or whatever.
Because I could be sitting there doing things to you and I'd be going, you know, you take it, you take it, you take it. And you're like, no, 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 I don't want it. No, stop. You need to stop. You need to stop.
And that's part of the scene. Unless...
And I'm maybe at a point where I'm like seeing you in a state where you don't seem comfortable, but you just may be really getting into it, mm-hmm, and really acting into that role. It's a role play.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Just over communication. It really just has to be communicated. As long as you have established all the parameters of everything that's allowed to happen, everything that, you know, what actually constitutes a safe word in that case, and
right,
what will happen if, you know, this is said or this is done, and, you know, it just, you be with somebody you trust and over negotiate the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's the bottom line.
But it's still probably not something I'm ever going to do.
How about that? Communication being so super important. Who knew? So the last section, and I think it is indeed the last section of chapter 6, is called Smoke and Mirrors. And basically this is...
mind games.
Mind games, fantasy things. They use the term, is it real or is it Memorex, which was...
Wow, that's an old reference.
From way back there, VHS tapes, when Memorex was put... Is it live or is it Memorex? Well, doesn't really matter now, does it? So... they go into different things. Fantasies too perilous to act out can be fulfilled by clever subterfuge. And that's where we get into the mind games, the mind fucks. They use Wartenberg pinwheels and stuff in here they talk about.
It could be something like somebody wants the experience of being watched without actually being watched. So it's more of a... you know, telling them there's somebody sitting in the corner watching us, you know, stuff like that. And it painting that mental picture and making it seem real when it's not.
So one of the scenes that they go into is talk about a branding fantasy, having them tied up on a counter and using a hibachi, which is problematic inside because of smoke, or like a griddle of some sign, type to, it works great if you can do a back patio.
Or if you have a fireplace.
Or a fireplace.
You can actually have a branding iron.
And you can sit there. But if you have a actual hibachi, you can like actually throw hamburger meat on there.
And listen to it sizzle.
Hear it sizzle and sear and all that. And basically what you do is you you throw that on there and you start talking about third degree burns from branding irons and this and that. And then you slip a blindfold on them. And then you go like you're just going to really brand them. And you show the branding iron that you have in the hibachi. And then you take a frozen can of juice and put on them. And total mind fuck.
Because in your head, that's going to feel like you're
because
being
burned. Because you never saw the frozen juice. You didn't know it was there. And it works the same way with the violet wand. If you use the pad and then you take like a knife or a Wartenberg wheel and you run it down the body at the right level of intensity, it feels just like it's cutting the flesh open.
But it's not.
But it's not.
Yeah. So, you know, for people who want to play with those sensations or play with the, you know, that kind of fear play without actually putting someone in danger or you know, some doesn't want to mess with blood.
Right.
You know, I don't like blood play. But, you know, if you wanted to experience that kind of sensation without actually going there, there are a lot of ways to, mind fuck someone and make them feel like they're in that experience.
Now, one of the big things when it comes to mind fucks, and this was an important thing that we talked about at a round table several years ago, and it was the Baron who's been on the show who brought this up. Or I'm sorry, it wasn't at a round table. It was at an actual demo on mindfuckery. And the Baron actually brought up that with mindfucking, you're not necessarily worried about hurting them physically, but you can scar someone mentally, and it can last a whole lot longer. It could stick forever. So you have to be really careful.
And aftercare is just as important as it is in any other scene.
Communication beforehand and trust is very vital. The overly negotiate and communicate. Mm-hmm. If there's mind fuckery going on, definitely, because you can open up a can of worms that won't be shut, maybe.
And it's definitely not for everyone.
No, it's not. And that brings us to the end of chapter 6. Look at that. If you have any questions on anything, or if you want to follow along in the book, it's Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns, The Romance of Sexual Sorcery and Sadomasochism by Philip Miller and Molly Devon. And, you know, feel free. It's a book club. Normally, we don't do whole units on the book club or
this
whole episodes.
Really,
but this
big
chapter was really long, and it covered a lot of things that we do and a lot of things that we play because it's that different kind of stuff. The next chapter, which we may or may not get into next time, because I kind of would rather have an expert on it, and that is not me, because it's get them by the balls, and I'm not a CBT kind of person, giving or receiving, so I may have to seek out a friend for that one.
So hopefully we'll have a special guest next time.
And if we don't have a special guest on that, then maybe we'll have a special guest on something else. We just don't know right now because of everything that's going on. Our whole schedule's been thrown off, and we're going to try and start getting interviews lined up.
Yeah, we've got several people who want to come in and talk to us and be on the podcast. We just have not had time to sit down with them. So,
And I actually kind of have a thing that is looking forward as far as when we interview people. So that's something special. We'll talk about that at another time later in the year. So without any further delay, we will send you on your merry way. And until next time, this is BK.
It's Princess Peeta.
Keep adventuring. Let a Dragon be your safe call. House of the Faithful Dragons is offering Safe Call as a service. Just call them and give them the details, the date and time, the location, the names of the people involved, and they'll contact you with a prearranged time via text or call to get the all clear from you or to summon the police on your behalf if you cannot. 972-591-3730. That's 972-591-3730 from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time. Outside of these hours, someone will call you back as soon as possible. That's 972-591-3730 between 8 a.m. and 11 p.m. Central Time, and let a dragon be your safe call. You know how you like your rope. Our friends at My Nawashi cater to those that are particular about their rope and choose to condition it themselves. Let them provide you the highest quality unfinished jute rope so you can have your rope your way. Custom rope available upon request. Go to www.mynawashi.com. That's www.mynawashi.com. Or email them at mynawashi@gmail.com. I torture you.